It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, welcome to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We are unafeared. Unafeared, why? Because we know the truth. What's the truth? I don't know if they come up with this. Oh, what's the truth? You know what's interesting about the people that asked me that question? That's what's interesting. The kind of people that ask me that question, because obviously they don't know. You know, let me tell you what it is. It's the unlies. I mean, it's that simple. It's like, you know, can we not lie to people? And certainly, who do you not want to delude right off the bat? You don't want to delude yourself. You want to know the truth. Go ahead at number two. Who we have in studio today is Tony Ryan. Tony Ryan is a retired Denver police officer. He joined LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He's a Libertarian National Committee representative on LNC rep, which is, you know, these liberty things kind of overlap in a lot of ways. And we're going to find out how. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony, this morning you were talking at a group, an event, and tell me about that.
Well, that was the, what is her name? I forgot already.
Strategic
Edge Business Alliance, right. I think is what it was. Group of business people, varied backgrounds, different beliefs and political ideas and so forth. And I was there as a representative of LEAP to talk to them about why we need to end the war on drugs and come up with a better policy that is actually effective in dealing with the problem of drugs.
I don't know, man. You look kind of clean-cut grandpa-ish to me.
Well, I am.
Well, I mean,
more or less,
you know,
clean cut, and I am grandpa-ish, so, you know.
Well, I'm just wondering how it is that you would come to the conclusion that we need to legalize drugs.
Well, because I was on the inside of the war on drugs in law enforcement for 36 years, and I saw the devastation that the current policy actually causes and the black eye it gives law enforcement, and thought we need to do something different about this problem.
You know, that's one thing in your bio. I saw that you were a commander, right? What do they call it?
It was a lieutenant, command rank, yes, lieutenant.
Yeah, so lieutenant, and you were one of the first command rank that arrived at Columbine during the shootings there. And we find out later, all these kind of things, you have this kind of stuff going on. Ben Serpenowitz is a writer and a columnist, and he's an editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal and Las Vegas, their biggest paper in Nevada. And he always waits a week or two, just like we're waiting on this militia thing that's going on in Michigan. So, you know, you just wait. You just wait. Give it a couple of weeks, and you'll find out what's really going on. Of course, they have the FBI guy is the guy in charge of the bombs. So, yeah, we'll see what comes out with that. Well, what Ben would do, he'd look at these shootings that were going on these campuses and so on, finding out these kids were on legal drugs, they're on Ritalin and all this other stuff. You know, So you're going, you know, this drug war on so many levels. You know, they're pushing some drugs and then making illegal other drugs, and it's debatable on whether which one's more dangerous or not. But it's a war on some drugs. And from a law enforcement position, it's amazing that we have an organization that's made up solely of law enforcement against prohibition. In fact, next week we have Sheriff Richard Max coming on the show.
Right.
So he'll be on. I remember when he joined LEAP, he was an undercover narcotics agent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then a sheriff, and he's going, no, this thing sucks. So we got someone, a high-ranking, well-known individual such as yourself, you know, around in the Libertarian Party. You're speaking in different functions. Oh, I remember. I got to tell the audience this. In 2008 in Denver, right after Bob Barr got the nomination, we're outside talking, yakking. He comes out with a cigar. And he made the mistake of sitting down, and man, Tony gave him what for, okay? We all had our share. And the general message was, you know, he needs to, you know, stop being this drug warrior thing, because that's what, you know, he's, you know, an attorney, ex-CIA, ex-congressman, you know, big drug warrior, got targeted, lost his primary in 02 in Georgia because he was a drug warrior.
Because of a libertarian ad, actually.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, back then, you know, I think, what was his name?
Krickenberger?
Yes. Came up at, and got people to donate $50,000 to do an ad targeting one campaign against a man who was really after the drug thing, the drug war, wanted to keep prosecuting the drug war. And they put a woman on TV there in Georgia who was in a wheelchair just before the primary vote and looked in the camera and said, "Bob Barr, why are you against me having my medicine?" She needed medical marijuana to help her with this disabling disease that she had, and cost him the primary.
And all of a sudden, he's like, "I love libertarians now. I got religion. I'm a libertarian now." Is that how it worked?
Yeah, but he still wanted to. Well, you remember the conversation you were alluding to right after the convention in Denver. We're sitting out there on this sort of a patio thing on a sidewalk on 16th Street, and telling him, "You got to back off on the war on drugs." He says, "I can't tell people I want to legalize drugs. I'm running for president." And I said, "That's exactly why you should tell them. But you have to explain why it is you want to legalize drugs, because there is no control or regulation if you're into that kind of thing. Or maybe you want to make sure that people have a standard dose, which they don't have now when they buy drugs from drug dealers. Things like that, you know, that we control what people get if they need to have drugs and you're trying to get
them off of it. No fraud. You'd be accurate in your packaging."
Right. Absolutely. Said, "But you have to explain that the only way we can be effective with drugs is to legalize them, because if it's illegal, you can do nothing except arrest people." And
how's that working out?
Well, we have 5% of the world's population, 25% of the world's prisoners.
So this is, you know, it's not like we weren't able to express our opinion to Bob, and we told him. You know, Barry Hess and myself and Tony were grilling on him, and, you know, and we had an audience of dozens. I mean, people, they were definitely watching the show.
Oh, they were gathering around. That was interesting, yes.
And the main thing, I said, "Look, you know, you're not going to have the Levolution coming over in the LP with you in here unless you come out against a lot of these things that you've done. I got, if you don't, you can just kiss it goodbye." Well, that wasn't really their goal. Their goal is appeal to the Christian conservative, Republican, disaffected kind of whatever, that they thought all of a sudden, well, come on over here. The LP can be just as bad as they can or something. And you can't. You can't possibly be as bad or offer as much or whatever. Why would they? The only thing we have, the only arrow in our quiver, is a big giant freaking, you know, a shape charge of principle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's all we got. And it's growing. But what happened, I said, "You got 2 weeks." I go, "Yeah, we'll give you like 2 weeks. You know, you got 2 weeks, you come out with some kind of something. But if you don't buy them, you can kiss it goodbye." And I remember Bob and Wayne Allen Root, they were at a dinner function, a fundraiser they have right after the nomination for whoever gets it. And they're up there going, he's saying, "Oh, yeah, we're going to get $30 million.
Oh, yeah.
And Wayne goes, not to be outdone, "No, we're going to get $40 million. And they raise less than $1 million for the whole thing. So I'm promises, promises, promises. And what they don't understand is how powerful this drug issue is. And from my perspective, it's all about who owns me. You know, it's my body. I can do whatever I can. Snort Clorox. Well, you care, you know?
Yeah, true.
So this is, but from the law enforcement perspective, how effective is this? I mean, could you have enough police powers? I mean, that's what they keep doing. They're doing it now here in Arizona. They keep increasing police powers to be able to socially and economically engineer you with a gun. And is that ever going to work?
It hasn't worked yet. It didn't work in alcohol. It only took them 13 years to figure that out.
Yeah,
we're at this 40
years. They needed more money and more guns.
Yeah, well, and you know what? We have the same kind of conditions that we had that helped contribute to the end of the alcohol prohibition, a recession, and the need to raise tax money. And I'm not saying I'm for taxes, but they might help to right a wrong in law enforcement.
You think that's what's the motivation behind a lot of this stuff going? We have in Arizona, they're going to pass something like they got in California. Here in Arizona, they're talking about, they had AZ Normal here, you know, the National Organization for Marijuana law something, okay,
right.
Reform of marijuana laws. And they were here, and their whole argument was, well, we need to tax and regulate for the money so we can pay teachers. It's for the children.
Yeah. Well, children are a good sell for when you're trying to get money and raise taxes, you know.
All they want is their drugs, you know, and I'm just, you know, this is, I just want my freedom. I don't care. That's not my shtick. You know, my deal is I just want my freedom. And if I have a government that's there telling me that they own my body, you know, that's the problem, but they never address it in that terms. They never bring up the real core issue is I put my hand on your shoulder and I just want to ask one question. Whose life is this? Who owns this? Well, if you don't get to put in it what you want, then you don't own you. Get used to the idea. But we'll be back with Tony Ryan from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition in just a little bit. And we'll take your calls. Get ready, 866-986-6397.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, and you go check it out. Today is a special day on the morning show. But we got just as good a show in the afternoon for you because I love you. I got you, Tony Ryan. Tony Ryan from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. This drug war thing just not working out. So also, you know, he's a big guy. I mean, you're what, 6'3" at least probably?
Well, I used to be. I got old. I shrunk.
Yeah, well, you know, Mr. Man in Blue, this big boy come up to you. Yes, and boss, what do you want me to be doing? You know, but you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to not have to worry about drug laws because as a law enforcement officer, he's come out speaking heavily against us in a lot of places. And this morning he was here in Scottsdale speaking at an event, doing the very same thing, an event that's put on more by a gentleman that's more from the left. But, of course, they would, you know, want to hear what the man has to say that knows. And I got to ask you, Tony, how is it that you got involved with tell me about Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I remember with Wooldridge when he was doing his horse ride across the country, you know, we had him on there and he's bringing attention to this. You know, I was impressed with him and, right. and the organization and how the people that were involved. And how did they get your attention?
Well, actually, because of Howard. He came to the
Howard Wooldridge, right.
Colorado State Convention in 2004 with his horse and his message. And I asked him what he was doing there. I was a speaker. Actually, somebody kept telling people, all this cops should have done this, should have done that about Columbine. You know what? And they said, why don't you come and tell us about it, which is actually a hard story to do. But I did. I was a speaker talking about what happened at Columbine. But I heard Howard's presentation. And he had asked me before he did his presentation, you're a cop. I just retired the year before. And he said, what do you think about all this drug stuff? And I said, this is one of the most damaging things of law enforcement that ever dreamed up. It's nothing but a black mark for law enforcement, black eye. Everything we do goes wrong every time we do drug enforcement. Kicking in doors, shooting grandmothers, people that don't even have drugs because of bad info from informants, all of that kind of stuff. And he said, you know what? And then he listened to me talk about Columbine. He came up and says, you need to join us. And I said, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition? He says, yes. This started in 2002 with one man who stepped up to the plate, met some other guys who had been in law enforcement and said, and some of them were working with Reconsider in those days, said, we need to put a bunch of cops together that think the way we do because there's really a lot of them out there. And so one guy ran with the idea, helped incorporate into a nonprofit, and they started from there. Five guys were the founding fathers of this organization.
Were you one of the five guys?
No, I wasn't one of the five. No, I joined in late 2004.
And they started 2002, you think, is what it was?
2002.
You know, this is, it was probably about, 04, 05 when it be, you know, hit our radar. And of course, Howard, he's out there, Howard Woodridge, on his horse. I mean, literally, he's riding the horse across country.
He did.
You know, and it was, I don't know how he found a lot of country to ride across. I mean, he had a trailer that he put the horse in when he had to go through towns or something somehow or whatever. But,
yeah.
You know, when you know, he had an opportunity, he'd do it across the country. So that was very cool. And this, and everyone that I've ever met through LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, have been quality individuals. And, well, first you got to think, one, they were law enforcement, okay? And that didn't make them quality individuals. But, you know, if they but if they know that, they're willing to stand up and speak out against this prohibition against drugs that is causing all this crime, just like prohibition did in the 30s, you know, the 20s and 30s, I mean, you have some understanding. You know, these are people that know better. They're like, hey, man, I don't think I know. I was freaking there.
Right.
You know, so this is, how would you like to see drugs decriminalized? I mean, it's just, you know, take it off the books. It's a plant. Go grow, you know, your marijuana next to your basil in your backyard. I mean, you know, you want more regulated. I mean, what are you looking for?
Let me make a couple things clear first. First of all, I think if you choose to use drugs, you probably ought to rethink that. I don't advocate the use of drugs, but people do that. People smoke cigarettes. People drink too much alcohol. They eat too much. People like to do things that are bad for them. Doesn't mean you should go to jail. I think drugs are drugs. They're made, depending on your point of view, if you believe in the creator, those things are all plants. They're there. You know, they're natural. They come from natural substances. We need to back off of this. We need to legalize drugs, not just decriminalize. LEAP says legalize, so that if you want to have some control and regulation, which is a whole other libertarian topic, but at least it's better than throwing all kinds of people in jail for merely possession of a substance that some people don't like, and they're not harming anybody. So we have to get rid of that. Back off. For people that have gotten themselves hooked on drugs where they actually have an addiction or something, we need to offer them some help. It's a medical problem, maybe a psychological problem, but it's not a crime to have a bad habit.
You know, think about people. I'm sure the audience, there's a lot of people going, oh, yeah, well, this hopped up, blah, 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 or this person robbed me to buy it and all, you know, the crime associated with drugs. But explain, you know, I mean, really, the crimes associated with drugs are due to what?
Due to the black market effect.
Because it's illegal.
It's illegal. That's why you got these people killing each other just down the road from here in Arizona. All kinds of death going on. If you live in El Paso, Texas, you're scared to death. 2,000 deaths, we call them prohibition-related deaths, not drug-related deaths. They're about the prohibition. If you legalize the drugs, these people wouldn't be killing each other over the right to sell them to willing customers and make all this money, because there wouldn't be a black market anymore, and most of that, we believe, would go away tomorrow if it was legal tomorrow.
You know, I was watching last night, and my wife hates it, but I was watching South Park. And in South Park, it's all talking about the legalization of drugs. And it was just, they make fun of every, you know, stupid law and how they pass it and everything. And what happened, a Kentucky Fried Chicken got closed down because they had some kind of, you know, fat laws or something. And it opened up a medical marijuana clinic. And then,
trans fat.
and then it was, you know, I can't get it. Well, you got to have cancer. So all the men in the city were standing in front of microwaves so they get testicular cancer so they can get marijuana. You know, so it's just, I mean, it's just the absurdity. But, you know, the one thing that you can pretty much count on when you make something illegal, which the Kentucky Cartman's selling the Kentucky Fried Chicken on the black market because it was illegal. So he's making money. So the thing is that you see the incentive for people to sell these harmful drugs, even probably usually, I mean, sometimes they may not be harmful if they're used by adults and they, you know, whatever, that's your thing. I don't care. But, you know, they increase the potency of this stuff so they can smuggle more. Instead of being beer and wine, it becomes, you know, bathtub gin because they can put more in the rowboat from Canada. I mean, right. You know, I mean, this is why they do that. So you get these concentrated drugs that are sold to school children because the profit's there. You need to create a market. You got to, you know, I mean, this is what happens when you have prohibition. So you want to save the children, legalize the drugs. So there's no monetary incentive for a black market for, there's not the money there. So right. This is, you know, especially if they're growing their own plant in the backyard. So advocating drug use is not the point. It's freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? And I'm telling you, if you want to make something that there's a market, supply and demand, and you reduce the supply or you control it in some way, you're going to increase the price. So if you had a decriminalization or legalization or whatever of marijuana, it's like cotton. It's in, you'll be filling freaking railroad cars. How much do you think the profit's going to be on that, especially if you can do it yourself? But that's why law enforcement and drug dealers don't want it legalized. Who are the people that want it to be a crime more than anybody else? The drug dealer and the law enforcement.
Well, I have to point out that, because I deal with medical marijuana. We live in South Dakota part of the year. When we were pushing for medical marijuana 4 years ago, we lost that. But there and in a couple of other states in the Midwest, it's interesting to know who comes out against medical marijuana, for example. It's always a law enforcement group. And in particular, it's usually, more often than not, putting a lot of money into fighting the effort are the unions that represent corrections officers.
Right. That's a whole nother thing, man. I'm telling you, this prison industrial complex thing is getting dangerous. I mean, that's why we have the largest percentage, I don't know, on the planet of our people. It's amazing what's happening here. Well, we're glad we got guys like Tony Ryan here representing law enforcement against prohibition, because somebody's got to. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Turn on the tube. What do I see? A whole lot of people crying. Don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this. Victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy too fat. Get over it. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Tony Ryan from LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He's also on the Libertarian National Committee. You know, we'll see how that overlaps here in a little bit. But, you know, I want to make sure that we get some of the stories out of here, because here's from a law enforcement perspective around the country. You have these guys everywhere. And a lot of times they're leaders. You know, these aren't the guys, can I follow? I'm going, do I get some benefit and a shiny badge and so on? No, these people take a lot of risks. You know, they have a lot of friends in law enforcement. They know. But, you know, that's another thing I want to ask you. You know, when you do this, and you have people that you actually work with out of Denver, you know, or somebody, do you have your fellow officers that were still on the force come in and go, hey, we're glad you did it, or, yeah, you turncoat? I mean, you know, what's their opinion on this?
Well, as we hinted at before, sometimes it depends on what part of law enforcement they're in. If they're in drug enforcement, then they're probably a little uptight about that. We have, you mentioned that we have police officers, retired police officers. We also have retired drug court prosecutors and judges that have seen the light and said, you know, this is a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It does more damage than it does good. And we also have current police officers who actually are speakers for law enforcement against prohibition. They're active police officers. They get a lot of flack for doing what they do. But it's about believing in something and deciding whether it's good or not, and then following your beliefs. And that's what I do in terms of Libertarian Party and in terms of law enforcement against prohibition. I'm involved in medical marijuana movement, particularly in South Dakota. I helped relax the laws in Denver regarding possession of marijuana. Helped Safer Colorado get a law passed by Denver citizens saying it's legal if you're 21 or over to possess up to an ounce, personal use.
And it's all your fault then.
No, I just helped them.
Oh, you're the man. You did
it. As the ex-cop, as the ex-Denver cop. And then when Denver said, well, you know what, we have a state law. And I said, what are you, DEA? You know, so your citizens tell you don't enforce this and you're going to do it anyway. So then we passed it and we helped pass initiative. I did a 30-second phone blast announcement saying I'm retired Lieutenant Tony Ryan and you need to vote for this, and that was to make it Denver Police Department's lowest enforcement priority, and that passed also.
Well, you know, tell me a story. I mean, you know, there's got to be some instances where people have, you know, challenged the man and you're standing there defending them challenging and actually breaking the law or don't you do that? I mean, that's one thing. Law enforcement against prohibition, you know, they're kind of, nah, we're for enforcement. We're for changing the law, not breaking it or something. What's the position on that when you have civil disobedience and they're doing like, I was at the Liberty Forum, Free State Project thing a couple weeks ago, and they had a 420 action, you know, and it's always for, why is it for, is something to do, isn't there a code that for, code 420 means marijuana something or something?
Right, right. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but it has to do with the marijuana.
Yeah, so there's a 420. It's like a 186 or 187 in L.A. is a murder or something.
Right,
so they,
187 in L.A., yeah.
Yeah, so then it's 420 thing. So it's always April 20th or at 420 in the afternoon. I'm sorry, I can only work for you until 4 because at 20 minutes after, I got something I got to do. I mean, you know, there's, you know, it's that kind of thing. So law enforcement against prohibition, prohibition is a legal thing. It's a legal term. Are there any support activities that LEAP does for civil disobedience, where people are actually breaking the law?
No, we don't. Actually, we don't participate in that. We're trying to just convince people through education. We're known as an education organization that the drug war is bad news, makes the problem worse instead of better, and trying to get people to just respond to that. And then through that, decide to start talking to their elected leaders, because only those people can change the law, the federal legislators.
Drug laws are bad.
And say, this is not working. It's detrimental to the country. But you have to understand that there's a lot of money in it, not just on the drug dealer side, but also on the people that are engaged in the enforcement and the imprisonment and so forth. A lot of people make money off of this drug war. So it's kind of hard to look at it that way. But you have to get people, we just need to get people to understand that it's not the right approach.
For yeah,
it's admittedly a problem, but it's not the country's biggest problem, even though some people will try to tell you that.
Violation of individual rights, that's the biggest problem. They're using the drug war to do that very thing very well.
Yes.
The one thing that I did want to, I did not anticipate it as a young man, I guess. I mean, I didn't know enough to know until it had already happened. It's too late. And that was such an enormous monetary block. Lobbying block, special interest block, a plethora of lobbyist block on every level of government from the corrections guys. Now, this is something I did not anticipate being such an enormous, and you know, the prison industrial complex thing, that is huge. And they keep building more, and they want to what? They want to put more people in them. You take away, what percentage of people that are incarcerated was due to the drug war?
About 40%.
Oh, seriously? I mean, just drugs? You know, just possession or something, or selling or whatever?
Oh, yeah, there's people in prison for merely possession. Possession, and they're not selling to anybody else. They're just caught in possession of
40%?
Something.
40%?
Close to 40% nationwide.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, Mark Victor, my partner in the Freedom Summit, I just talked to him earlier today about some stuff, and he is always going on about how the criminal justice system is near collapse. I don't see how it's sustainable. It's certainly not doing what it's supposed to. You're not getting a speedy trial. You know, you're not. It's all they want you to just be a handholder, walk them through the system, get them to plead guilty, and they come up with these laws. Well, you can plead guilty to misdemeanor, de la whatever, or you can go to trial to do 20 years.
Right.
I mean, it's that kind of crap. I mean, seriously, I'm not exaggerating.
That's the game. That's how the game's played. And
yeah, you know, risk 20 years, or you get a little something on your thing, whether you did anything or not. You come in to touch it. You know, here's another thing you can answer for people. Mark always says, don't talk to cops. Don't say nothing. Don't nothing. You know, I mean, you come in, you know, no yes, sir. No, be polite. Just don't. My attorney in here, I don't say nothing. Nothing. I mean, what would be your advice to people that come into contact with law enforcement? Should they be nice, or are they better off just not saying nothing?
I'd say be pleasant. You have a right to say something. Stand up for yourself. You just need to be pleasant. You would expect that from anybody.
I can pleasantly say nothing?
Well, you can pleasantly say nothing if you choose to. Absolutely. But if you're going to say something, just be polite. And say, you know, it's not being subservient, it's just being polite. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. I have my papers right here, my license, my registration, whatever. And be polite because, you know,
they got a gun.
it's the old power of the pen is mightier than the sword. Keep yapping and watch that pen keep writing. You know, that's kind of how that works.
Well, that's, you know, where we have an advantage here. I mean, you know, you're in studio. I mean, you see, we have, you know, a lot of goodies here. You know, somebody does something that will make you famous, you know. So, you know, we're like, yeah, do you want to play? I mean, seriously, do you want to play? But not everybody has that opportunity. By the time they call me, you know, or your organization, LEAP, they'll go, I was convicted and I need help. It's too late now, man. Where were you before when we were trying to decriminalize this stuff?
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's time to get active now, not later. Well, that brings us to politics. What attracted you to the Libertarian Party? Why, and it's such a high level. Why are you involved that? I mean, you got the time and you got the resources. You and your wife get to drive around. And I mean, you know, is that fulfilling, or are you frustrated, or what are you looking for?
Well, I'll tell you what. I met my wife a long time before I got married to her, which was my mistake, but that's a long story. But anyway, way back when I was a sergeant and had about 12 years on the job, she was dating a different cop. But I used to talk with her off and on here and there about things, and she was talking about vice and narcotics activity. She says, you ever done that? And I said, nope, never had interest in working either vice or narcotics. Thank you. I think that's, we're just messing with human nature. You can't stop it. You know, it's like the fruit of the forbidden tree, the apple, the first prohibition that didn't work. Now we're on our third. But anyway, she said, really, you ought to be a libertarian. And I go, what? What is that, a cult or something? What is that? You know, she says, no. And so she started talking to me about that. And then when we finally did get together, I decided, you know what, this party what it's about. They believe in the right things. And it's interesting to note, considering my basic belief about the war on drugs, that was part of the original platform way back in 1971, right after Nixon declared war on drugs. That was one of the main tenets of the original platform of the Libertarian Party, get rid of the war on drugs.
It's not there anymore? Is it? Is it? Come on, say it.
Do we still have it? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention when they tore that apart and rewrote a lot of that stuff. I thought, what are you
doing? In 2006, in Portland, Oregon, to try and make more room for a bigger tent. To them, a big tent means to allow non-libertarians. Because the way the Libertarian Party were, there's two main things. When they created the party, the statement of principles, it says, we, the members of the Libertarian Party, oppose the cult of the omnipotent state. And I don't know how better to say it. A cult is this adoration or worship of what? This all-knowing, all-powerful state. And I'm going, that's a nice, communist and fascist need not apply. I like that. That's good. And the only way to change that is 7/8 in convention. So it's unlikely that's ever going to go away. And then you have the pledge, you know, it's controversial. It's like, I do not advocate initiation of force or fraud for political, social, or economic gain. Okay, that's cool. You know, then what? Well, there's some people, like, you start getting to be popular. You start hearing every politician slinging around how libertarian they are, and then they want to change us instead of join us.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, we want to change the world here and declare your independence to something better. What's better? I want to be better. What's better? I just asked Tony. What's better?
Freedom.
Oh, see, he's one of my guys, man. He's the kind of guys I want to hang with, all those freedom guys. You know, and somebody from law enforcement retired. How long were you in law enforcement?
36 years.
36 years. Have you seen enough? You kind of got a beat on it, how the world really works and the meat and dirty, grimy gutter of?
That was long enough, yes.
Yeah, long enough. Long enough to know this drug war thing's not working out. Do you think is there anything they could do to make it work? I mean, is it you give them a little bit more of something, power, arms, bulletproof, whatever, sonic weapon, day-law, silly string, incarcerated something? I mean, you know, is there something they can get to make it work?
What, the current policy?
Yeah, make the drug war work. We can something. Mandatory drugs. We had a story on Freedom's Phoenix today to where they have a pill that shows that it was taken. They want to make sure and know that you took your medication. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Of course. You know, there's all kinds of sci-fi movies about you're not medicated enough.
So this is like a cancer cure involves radiation. That's how they can show that you took it? Or what?
No! Engineers design pill that signals it has been swallowed, seeking a way to confirm that patients have taken their medication. University of Florida engineering researchers have added a tiny microchip and digestible antenna to a standard pill capsule so they can make sure you took your meds. It's like a sci-fi movie. It's like Equilibrium or THX 1138 with Robert Duvall. And it's like, oh, we have a drug violation. You know what their drug violation was? You didn't take your drugs, because they need you on your drugs. I give you, whatever. Put it in the water. Heck, fluoride, man. You name your poison. I mean, make sure you're medicated. And you know why they fluoridate the water? Because they love our teeth. They love us. The government loves us. And why else do they do it? Well, it's because they love us. They want what's good for us, right? That's why they have this kind of stuff. All right, so let's go ahead and get your perspective on a couple of things that I want to know. What role does politics play in the drug war? I mean, are we trying to get votes? Are you trying to run candidates? Are you trying to change a culture? Are you trying, what is the purpose of being involved in politics in this thing?
Well, in the drug war, you've seen many and many politicians said, I can't come out in favor of drugs. Our former presidential candidate, as we discussed earlier, said, I can't do that. I'm trying to run for president. I can't go soft on drugs because it sounds like it's soft on crime. We'll see, it's the policy that created those crimes.
Do they really think that way? I mean, is that their motivation? They really think that, or are they advocating something's telling them? I don't understand. It's not. There's no evidence that points to that.
It's my own opinion, but somebody asked me this morning in my presentation this morning at the businessmen's group. They said, "What do you think started the war on drugs?" I said, "Well, the reason a lot of things do, and one of the things that Thomas Jefferson warned us about is watch out for government. They give you something to be afraid of. Tell you they're going to save you from it, and then they got you. So here's this big, bad, evil thing called misuse of drugs, and drugs are bad. We need to make them illegal unless some of them, not all of them, but some of them are prescribed by a doctor. So they start this, and now they've had it for 40 years, and they're entrenched. They don't know how to get out of it. They say, I can't get elected if I go soft on the war on drugs. People are going to say, oh, my God, he wants a bunch of drug-crazed people running around and all that. That's not what it's about. It's about controlling a bad habit in a different way, about educating people. It's about trying to help them decide not to even start with drugs in the first place. But if they do, helping them get out of it. You don't do that by going to jail, because everybody knows that in jail you get more drugs than you do in the street.
You know, there was I got a really good dose early on the drug war thing. I think it was a really good movie, and of course it's never going to see the light of day. It was called The Palermo Connection. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No, I haven't.
There's two brothers, John and Jim Belushi. Remember John Belushi from Saturday Night Live and so on? Well, his brother Jim, that's been on some sitcoms and so on recently, when I think it was right after John died or right before or something, where Jim got his start in the movies was in a movie called The Palermo Connection. And he was running for mayor of New York City. That's how this movie had some stars in it and everything. But of course, it's about, taking the wrong side on this drug war thing. So heck no, we're not showing. I just happened to see it at the video store. I don't know why I picked it up. And it was a really good movie. And this is what the deal was. He's running for mayor of New York. And he knew how you asked a series of questions gets you the polling numbers that you want. The drug war is doing this and it's bad and evil, therefore it does this. Wouldn't you like to legalize drug? Yeah, okay, 70-something%. Yeah, do it. He used that poll. Yep, I'm running for decriminalization of drugs in New York City. Well, then they had to explain it to him because he was of Italian ancestry. They took him over to Palermo. I think it was Palermo. I guess it's an Italian city or something.
Sicily. Yeah.
And Sicily, right. So they goes over there and they go, let me tell you how this works. If you decriminalize this, we lose money, we can make sure you win, get all this, we can do all that. But if you do this, you won't live to see the next day. So he does get elected. I'm legalizing drugs, and boom, he's the end of the movie is him getting killed. So the lesson in this thing is what? Is that who wants the drug war more than anybody else? The people that profit from it. And it's not just the drug dealers. It's law enforcement and government. The CIA.
Well, I have to admit, there probably isn't a law enforcement agency in this entire country that isn't getting a federal grant to do drug enforcement.
How does that grant, how is that bestowed? Is it a big lump and you create a squad, or they pay you piecemeal by every guy you arrest?
Well, what it really means is that you actually have to be engaged in drug enforcement. That's what you got the money for. Now, many departments don't have a lot of manpower. They're not going to hire extra people. So they're just going to divert people that were doing other forms of law enforcement to do drug enforcement, because with the government, you get a grant, you got to show that you used it according to what the grant is about. And depending on the size of the department, it can be anywhere from 20% to 50% of their budget, drug enforcement money.
From feds?
From feds.
50% of a, you know what?
It's a small sheriff's department with just a few people, and some big county like just up the road here in Flagstaff, largest county in the country, you know, with a lot of territory to cover, maybe not a whole lot else going on, but they have an interstate highway running through it, so they get funds for interstate highway drug interdiction activity.
You know, one thing I remember, I think it was Utah or Idaho, and it made it to, you know, the morning news. It was before the internet hit real big. It was mid-90s. And there was some law enforcement on a highway. They were planting drugs on people in order to seize vehicles and stuff. And and the law enforcement individual, the law enforcement officer, got a percentage of the rake.
Well, that could be. It's one of the worst things about the war on drugs. I mentioned before, the black eye against law enforcement. It is a corruption that's involved at every level. It gets corrupted. In my department, we had a guy that was working narcotics, whose girlfriend happened to work in what we call the property bureau. It's where private property that was recovered, that was stolen, burglaries and so forth, and also evidence was taken. She was taking drugs out of the evidence lockers, giving them to him, and he was selling them on the street. Because it's that money, all that money that comes with illegalizing, making drugs illegal, and having the black market effect, and all that money corrupts law enforcement. You have prison guards every day in the news somewhere in this country. A prison guard is getting arrested for selling drugs to the inmates.
You know, there's in northern Mexico, southern, the border with the United States, there's a war going on now. And we have law enforcement and the federales from Mexico going, oh, it's American guns. If they didn't have the guns, well, then all this violence would stop. And
it's not Americans pulling the triggers.
Well, it's not. I mean, they're going to get the gun. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, but what is behind all this? What's going on?
The profit motive from the black market of the drugs being illegal. It's all about that. We maintain that if we were to legalize drugs tomorrow, get a law passed by the Congress to change this policy, to reverse it, to make them legal, and then they can do whatever it is they need to do in terms of controlling it, like they do prescription drugs or whatever, if they need to. That's not necessarily libertarian, but it's much better than what we do now. This stuff in Mexico, killing each other off by the dozens, by the thousands, right across the river from El Paso, makes El Paso so nervous that their city council wanted to pass a resolution saying, let's revisit this whole issue and change this policy. 2,000 people killed last year. Like I've mentioned before, we call it death due to prohibition, not to drugs, but to prohibition, because it's about prohibition. If you legalize it, they don't have the fight for this money because it isn't there, because now if you have a drug problem, you can go get it. And you'll know what the dosage is. You won't die of an overdose. Drug overdoses are accidental, not suicide, because you don't know what you're getting when you buy it from your dealer.
Well, what's the response from the federal government? I mean, they come out, hey, let's look, and they go, no, 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 no. I mean, how do they respond? Why did they not look at it? What stopped them from pursuing this legalization?
There's a lot of money involved, and I'm not sure exactly how to explain all that, but there's a lot of money involved. But I will say this, most recently, the latest head, a former chief of police of Seattle, that's important for one reason I'll tell you in a minute, is now the head of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, and his statement is, legalization is not in my vocabulary, nor is it in the president's. Interesting to note that the chief just prior to him is one of Leap's major speakers.
Which is why he's there. And what do we have here in Maricopa County, in Arizona, in Phoenix? He was a big DEA guy. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, one of my favorite people. Now, what the first thing he did when he came here, he goes, we got to put a bubble over Maricopa County. We're going to search every car coming in and going out of Maricopa County. I'm going to control it. I got to eliminate my competition. I mean the drug dealers. I got to get rid of these guys because they're muscling in on my territory. I mean, they're selling drugs to kids. We got to get them. Got to get them. Got to get them. Got to get them. Really? Is that what's going on? Yeah, Joe, I know. He and I know each other. I know what's up. And I'm telling you, you know, who are the ones that are against the decriminalization of drugs? powerful ones that profit at the expense of your individual rights. We'll be right back.